Accession number 19902, Reel 3.
But Wilkins, Reel 3.
Right.
So you said you got some leave in Calcutta as well.
Yes, and that's when the Japanese broke into Kawima, and they all 7 and 5 division men had to report to the RTO. So that's where the confusion, because I was on convalescent leave, and me and a mate was sent up. As I say, I can't, you know, you can't think of these places, but finished up at Dimapur anyway.
You finished up at Dimapur?
Dimapur, yeah.
You personally?
Yeah. And
what happened to you at Dimapur?
Well, I went down with malaria. So I was in the hospital, in the Indian hospital at Dimapur. And then I went up. I turned our regiment into 3-inch mortars. We was made as a 3-inch mortar unit. So they had training on mortars, 3-inch mortars, and I was a signaller. That's when I was made a lance bombardier, because I was in charge of the signal section of L Troop.
So did you get back into action?
Oh yes, we went to centre right down to the Irrawaddy.
Any incidents that happened to you in the push through Burma?
Well, we was in action all the time, you know. We moved all the way down the Irrawaddy. We went to Saikpu, the East African Brigade got into trouble. We was attached to the South Lanks as a mortar troop. And so wherever the South Lanks went, we went with them. And we formed the bridgehead over the Irrawaddy for the tanks to go through, and we Pukokku, we cleared Pukokku. We found a Japanese printing press in there that's full of Japanese money, Japanese occupation money, and we was given silver rupees to the locals. And they wouldn't take that, they only wanted this Japanese money. So we used to go into this dugout and get a handful of this Japanese money, and we was told off by the authorities about it. So, that's fine.
So the Burmese were quite happy to accept Japanese occupation money?
Yeah, they didn't want our silver rupees.
So could you buy almost anything you wanted?
Well, any fresh food sort of thing. The civil affairs officer gave us a good lecture, you know. But it was a shame, you know, you shelled them. We mortared these villages and it was all on fire. You moved in and you wasn't allowed to use the Japanese positions. And you had to dig your own. I think I dug more holes in Burma than anything. That's all I seemed to be doing, was digging trenches. And one night I was on, you had one man in the sleeping pit and one in the weapon pit. You'd done the stand to, you'd done 4 hours from 8 o'clock to midnight, and then from midnight to 4 o'clock, which is stand to again. You shared the night between two men. And I was sitting on this bedroll and, you know, lack of sleep. I wasn't asleep, but I thought my rifle was getting longer, and I was just watching it. And it was a great big python. It fell into this Japanese trench. The next morning we looked there, it was about 20 foot long, this python.
What opinion did you form of the Japanese enemy?
Oh, we had nothing but contempt, because it seemed so hard to kill. You're not like a human being. You could kill him time and time again, and they still come back for more. Fanatics. And yeah, they'd come right up to the wire and start calling your name out, you know, Johnny, I'm wounded, help me. They'd call out over here. That's why you couldn't call a name out, because the jet picked a name out, they'd call your name. We had one of our listening posts, they got into the listening post, and this poor chap, he had 40 bayonet wounds when they found him the next day. He chopped his hands off with a bayonet. You know, this is the bestiality of him.
Did you see his body?
I didn't see his body, but you know, it's sort of things.
Was he from your unit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know his name?
No, I can't think of it. I wouldn't like to say his name, because if there's any other relations to hear that, you know, a bit terrible thing.
But you knew him personally?
Yeah, one of my best friends was with him, you know. It was terrible.
Did your best friend escape?
Oh yeah, he was, as I say, there was a list, they used to put a listening post out and bring him in when it got dark, it was to detect enemy before the main positions. And for some unknown reason, this listening post got overrun before they could pull out. And this chap, as I say, I won't say his name, was left behind, and they wanted to fake the morale. So every quarter of an hour or 10 minutes through the night, he would scream because they was sticking a bayonet into him or hacking it away his wrist. They kept him awake just to break the morale down of the troops.
Where was that?
I was on the Arakan.
At the admin box, or before the admin box?
Outside the box, yeah. So, once we had the Japs on the run, we went down the Gangor Valley, which was Death Valley. From Imphal, we marched from Imphal right down to the Irrawaddy. We thought it was funny, because I think soldiers have got a weird sense of humour. We was 80 miles in front of our regimental headquarters, which got attacked by the Japs, and sick humour of a soldier, you know, well, that was funny sort of thing. But me and a mate of mine, we was digging a position, and we uncovered a load of supplies, chocolate and cigarettes and bully beef. And a friend of mine who was in the Devon said that they buried those as supply bases, you know, for, and buried them as supply bases for patrol activities. But we had moved down with the South Lengths, and we moved to the Irrawaddy, where the landing, the crossing was made by the South Lancashire Regiment. But they took heavy casualties there, and about 40 men drowned without other casualties. And we cleared up all villages all along the Irrawaddy. We went up to Saigpu, because the East African Brigade had got into trouble. We had to go and help those out. All the Askaris done a runner and left all the white NCOs and officers on their own. It was all right going forward, but when the shelling started, the askaris.
Where was that?
That was in Saik Pu in central Burma, on the edge of the Irrawaddy. Yeah,
so you had to give mortar support?
Mortar support, and the South Lanks had to get them out of trouble. Yeah. And we got Yanin Yong and Chowfield oil fields, and I was done after 3 years odd. We pulled us out, and Major General Evans come and asked for volunteers to stop on, but none of us did.
So you came home to be demobbed?
No, I'd done another 18 months. I was a regular, see. I was a regular soldier. I joined up for 7 years.
So you served on after the war?
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Did you serve in any other
spheres? When I came home, I went into the Beds and Hearts, and I went to the battle school in Thetford, because we had to learn a different war sort of thing. Then I went out to... Oh, sorry. I went out to Belgium, and we went through to Germany, and I was on the occupation forces. We rounding up the SS men and putting them in of all places was German concentration camp, Ravensbrück, I think it was called, Ravensbrück, yes. And we had all these SS men there. An old Pierpoint used to come out every once a month and hang so many of them, about six at a time.
What impression of these SS men did you get?
Oh, horrible people. They used to sing these German marching songs in these huts, and we used to turn the hoses on them.
Where was this camp?
Ravensbrück, the concentration camp. We turned it into it was near Ravensbrück. We had this big camp. We had all wired in, and we used to, in the perimeter, there was rifles and that, but inside we had pickaxe handles, and you walked along the duck boards. It was thick mud, and if they didn't go off the duck board, you pushed them off with your pickaxe handle in the mud. So, and there was arrogant swines. There was.
How long were you there for?
I served 18 months in Germany.
Guarding these SS?
Oh, no. As I say, I was in the Army of Occupation for 18 months.
How long were you guarding the SS prisoners at Ravensbrück for?
Well, we used to take it in turns. It used to be the commandos and the Royal Scots and us. We used to take it in turns to either perimeter guard or interior guard. And as I say, you used to have to grab these blokes who was going to be executed and pull them out.
Yeah. How did the men who were going to be executed behave?
Some screamed and kicked, some sung the SS songs and so.
Did you see the executions?
No, I didn't see them, but they used to do once a month. They used to come and do about six.
Did you meet Albert Pierpoint?
Well, I didn't meet him. I see him though, in his little bowler hat, his little suitcase, and his assistant. Him and his assistant used to come up. And I finished my time in 1947, and
how do you feel now about having served in Burma with the Royal Artillery?
Well, as a young man, it was an adventure, but I don't regret it. It was comradeship and the laughs. You don't think of the bad times, you only think of the laughs and the jokes and your mates. That's what I miss when I come home from Burma. All the men I serve with, I never see one of them. You know, I was all alone. And then you get all the national service coming in. They're changing faces. They wanted me to sign on, but I said to the officer, I was in Brigade HQ then. I said, "Not for me now." As the family spirit had gone out of the army, you know what I mean? So many faces coming and going.
Why had you been so keen to volunteer and become a regular in 1940?
Well, because I got fed up with waiting to be called up. I couldn't get a job, as I say, I was working on the barges, so I volunteered. And the recruiting officer, I think he was crafty, he said, "Not taking volunteers, you have to join a regular engagement." So I joined up for 7 years with the colours and 5 on the reserve. The chap I joined up with, he was killed in the Middle East in the Essex Regiment.
How do you feel about reminiscing about these things now? Does reminiscing about it upset you? Or?
No. It's what annoys me sometimes, as I say, I went on this. Oh, sorry, put my hand there.
Don't worry.
I was talking about. I went on this medical one this year, wasn't it? And you get really insulted, you know. What position was you when you got wounded? What position did you finish up in? And then they said, "You're getting a pension for the bullet wound, but you didn't break any bones, so we don't consider the arthritis you've got as consequential to the wound. But you know, if your leg shortens all that much, I've got arthritis in the knee, haven't I? Which I got this time on the tribunal, because I said, if you're kneeling firing mortars, they say it was trauma, didn't they, from a childhood scar. But I said, when you've been kneeling on mortars, on our ground, wet ground, I said, you're more likely to get arthritis than trauma from a childhood injury.